This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
We have the Colorado State Rams complete 2026 football schedule. We have more on the Pac-12 flex week. We'll get to that. Also, the Nuggets win last night. Still didn't feel right. Got to the All-Star break. How we feeling? How we feeling about those Denver Nuggets? Also, we've been pronouncing something wrong our entire lives. The whole show starts now. Of the Pac-12 football schedule, which is where Colorado State will be beginning next season under new head coach Jim Mora. I want to get into the actual schedule part of it, too. Also, Rams Weekly coming up today at 1 o'clock. Kevin Lytle will join me. He'll help us kind of make sense of everything. The flex week. You think it's a good idea. I'm torn on it right now. So here's what the flex week, here's the overview. This is from Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports, and you just stick with me here. The Pac-12 will retain the right to adjust matchups based on the best interests of the league, including college football playoff considerations at the time. That's what we thought. Projected matchups final week not to be confirmed until 6 days prior at latest include. So this is projected matchups, which means they can change these. But the week 13 games, at least as of right now, it would be Boise State at Utah State, Texas State at Colorado State. San Diego, you know, remember, Texas State's going to the Pac-12. Kind of maybe some of you forgot about that. San Diego State at Fresno State, Oregon State at Washington State. So the four teams at home, this is key for the Rams fans. CSU is one of the home teams. Four teams at home in Week 13 remain set. So we know Colorado State will play Week 13 at Canvas Stadium. Same with Fresno State, Utah State, and Washington State. All Pac-12 teams ensured a minimum of six home games in 2026, and each to see four home games against fellow Pac-12 opponents. Further considerations will be taken into account should any flex occur of projected matchups, including no team returning to the same venue twice during the regular season. So, to my understanding, they don't count toward the standings, Mike. Ross Dellinger tweeted, flex week of four rematches determined by the league that don't count toward the standings. So a win or loss will not move you up and maybe in mess with the potential, well, not the potential, but the Pac-12 championship. This would strictly be for the purposes of gaining more positives in the minds of the college football playoff committee. I don't see how it changes that much. I guess I just don't understand it. Let's just hypothetically say the Rams are rolling and they're ranked 25th. Maybe they're the best team in the conference by far. And they look at it and go, well, Texas State's at CSU, but it would increase their chances if we get the second best. So it'd have to be a road team. So like a Boise State, San Diego State, Oregon State. We're just going to say they'll go to CSU instead. So they're already planning a road trip. These road teams, they already know they're going to be on the road. So I guess then you would look at it and say, CSU, I'm just for hypothetical purposes here, CSU's really close to a college football playoff berth. They've got a couple of different conference champions right in front of them. And Texas State is actually really bad. San Diego State is the second best team in the conference. So we'll have them. Would they do that, though? So then we'll have San Diego State play at CSU. And then what happens to the conference championship week? So if CSU already plays San Diego State, and they're number two, because that's the only way I see this happening. They're number two, so then we say, okay, we're not going to have Texas State at CSU. We want to bolster up CSU's resume, so we'll send San Diego State to CSU. If they're number two, because the only way you would do it, right, Mike, is to say whoever has the highest potential to get into the CFP should play the second-best road team in the conference at that point.
So I guess if CSU, the number one team, beats San Diego State, the number two team,
yes,
then the number three team, Washington State, plays CSU, the number one team, in the championship.
Why? Why wouldn't they just play if San Diego State's the two team and CSU beats them, whatever, it doesn't matter, but still remains the two team because this doesn't affect the standings. Could we see CSU play San Diego State back-to-back?
I mean, you very well could.
So you could potentially play a conference opponent three times. Because you're already playing them once, and then you're going to flex the schedule. And I'm just using San Diego State for reference. And then because the only way you'd flex a game, Mike, is if you have a team that has a chance of getting in the CFP, and then you're going to give them the best road team that's going to be playing in Week 13, and that they'd have to end up then going to Colorado State. And if they are the best, if they're second even, then potentially you could play them back-to-back? Is that good?
I'm still on the fence about this because I haven't done as deep of a dive. I think this is a very interesting point you're bringing up.
Ask me questions because I read through this a lot last night. What are your questions? What are your thoughts on this? Like, do you have any concern? I still have questions, but I think I've got the gist of how they're going to do this.
My one concern would be, is Allegiant Airlines, which is
you
their
keep
partnership,
bringing up the airlines.
Would they be... Are they already flexible enough?
They're already. So, okay, listen to this part. Boise State, Texas State, San Diego State, Oregon State, guaranteed to travel. The home teams are set. So CSU knows for sure week 13, they will be playing at home.
But these plans are already set like months in advance.
Yeah, I'm sure that they've figured that out. If not, it's going to be really crappy. So Boise State is already planning to travel on the week 13 game. Texas State, San Diego State, Oregon State, they are already planning to travel. So it would basically be, yeah. I mean, Go Pokes, he's been all over this in a negative way, and I get it, but he does bring up some good points. I just want to know how much weed was smoked when they came up with this. Does it not feel like the NBA? Like the way they come up with stuff sometimes? Like, you know what we need? Because I guess I just don't see if CSU is top 25, they're above, they're close to being in the CFP, but they would be on the outside looking in because maybe another G5 conference champ is above them in the rankings. Would adding the second best road team, again, it might not be the second best team because the home teams don't change. So, Michael, if CSU's one and Fresno State is two, it would make sense to say, well, let's have them play each other, and then that bolsters up the winner's schedule. Well, they can't do that because they're saying the four teams at home in Week 13 are set. They are not changing that. So what's the point of the flex if you can't flex? There's only four teams that can actually be that can actually change their travel plans, and that's Oregon State, San Diego State, Texas State, and Boise State.
And there are going to be those years where the cupcakes are going to be, well, Danishes are going to be on the road, and, you know, you're the bottom of the barrel.
Was this just randomized, too, who gets the first season of home games? Because if you're Boise and Texas, and I mean, you're all going to get the same amount, but knowing that last one is, and it's not counting toward the standings. So this will not count. So if you're a game ahead of Texas State and Texas State beats CSU in week 13, it will not count because they're playing it. I guess they just don't have enough conference. They don't have enough teams in the conference to get them to eight conference games. So they all have to double up essentially. So they have the projected matchup. It is there. So as of right now, it's those four we mentioned. I think it's clunky, but it's interesting. And I'm all about interesting. Eastside Chris texting in on the First Advantage text line. Would it be an issue? Would it not be an issue for traveling for fans? Where should one book flights and housing? Oh, yeah, 100%. You're only going to have 6 days. It's going to be 6 days. You'll know. So it's very wild. Lonster's on the First Advantage hotline. Lonster, what's happening, man?
Hey, Mike. Hey, Brady. How you doing, my
man? Did you almost call me Michael?
Well,
Lonster.
That's
I mean, I've been called some things in my day, and that takes the cake, my friend.
Hey, cake does sound good about this time.
Yeah, it's not bad. What's on your mind, man?
Hey, you know, this Pac-12 schedule, that is so confusing. I don't quite get what they're doing on this.
Yeah. What are your questions? Because I have a handle on all of it, I think, except for – I mean, I guess I think I have a handle on all of it. They're still going to have their conference championship game. So theoretically, you could play a team three times in the season.
Yeah, but that really don't make sense right there. I mean, you're playing them once. Why do you want to play them again?
Well, and again, there's a chance you play the same team three times. Two.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that that's what the conference championship would be. So, like, if CSU's top 25 and they're on the cusp of being in college football playoffs, well, go win your conference championship. That would be another win, obviously, against the second best team in your conference. So that I would think that would be enough. But again, most of this comes back to they don't have enough opponents to finish out their conference schedule, so they have to play somebody twice. But they're saying let's get creative with it. And mm-hmm. we'll move things around if we need to try to bolster up the front runner.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, you know what, good luck with this Pac-12 thing. I'm not sure if this is going to make it or not.
I'm not sure either. I don't know. Lonster, appreciate the call, man.
Hey, for sure, and have a good day.
All right, man, you too. Clear as mud?
It's clearing up. I don't know if it's going to work. It's a very interesting idea. I like the fact that they're trying something. Don't know if this is the right thing.
We're going to know probably 75% of the way through the season what that matchup's going to look like, who you're going to play. I mean, there's a chance, I guess, you just leave it as is if you think maybe it won't change anything. But the bottom line is they're saying in week 13 – we want whoever's the front runner to represent the Pac-12 in the CFP, we want them to have the best game possible against the best conference opponent possible to add to their resume, but won't count against the standings. So is the CFP just magically going to take that into consideration? Or how do we even know that the CFP will take that into consideration? I mean, it is a game, but the conference is saying it doesn't count. Are they still going to say, well, yeah, but CSU beat Texas State twice, and they were the number two team in the conference.
They'll take it into consideration.
I guess. listen, I like that they're doing something. They're getting creative. They didn't get another football member because Gonzaga, of course, is just basketball, so they don't have enough. So they said, okay, well, we're going to have to double. Everyone's going to have to double up. Should we try to add some bells and whistles to a rematch with your opponent? Well, County Swami, all great until they lose that game. Well, and then that would be the reverse idea then. If you're saying CSU's the front runner, we're taking the second runner road team. If they come in and beat CSU, then suddenly their resume looks pretty good, but they still have to be a conference champion. What if Texas State is third? I'm just saying, for example, what if San Diego State is third? Any of those four road teams is third. They come in, they beat CSU, their resume looks really good, but then they're not even in the mix, Mike, because they're third still because it did nothing in the standings. So they're not a conference champion. Now, in a perfect world, here's how it would work. CSU's number one. Boise State's number two. they say week 13, we're flexing that game, and it's going to be Boise State at Colorado State. And the winner bolsters their resume, and it changes nothing. It's still going to be Boise State at Colorado State for the Pac-12 championship. But the wrinkle is if CSU has to play like a third or fourth team, and maybe it helps their resume, but they still don't, they're not going to get into the conference championship, so the point is moot. They will not be in the college football playoffs.
I feel like
talking, they're ranked all that high, but they won't be. They just won't be that high. They won't be at large.
I feel like this is an idea come up with by the suits and the athletes and people who do the actual work on the field and in the locker room. They didn't have a say at all. Like, this was not considered. So, interesting idea. I'd like to see it in practice. Not so sure it's going to work out.
GoPoke says, don't forget they got rid of the conference championship requirement. What do you mean? Because I believe the format is still a 12-team format featuring the top five conference champions and seven at-large bids. Is that not? Did something change? Double check that for me, Mike, because GoPokes, I could have swore that we were sticking with that. Five highest-ranked conference champions are going to get in, and then you have your seven at-larges. No, that's still how it goes, man.
Yeah, that's still how it goes.
No, I'm on NCAA's website right now.
Looking at that, too.
It's the 12-team college football playoff field. Each of the conference champions, ACC, Big 12, Big 10, and SEC, also known as the Power Four, will receive an automatic bid, regardless of their final rankings. This was written a week ago. The highest ranked team from one of the group of six conferences, American, CUSA, MAC, Mountain West, Pac-12, or Sun Belt, regardless of whether it's a conference champion or not, will get an automatic bid. So it's just, okay, there you go. All right, there you go. There was the edit there, Mike. So it's still the highest ranked Power Four champions, then it's the highest ranked team. Ah, okay. That clears it up. See that, Mike? See where it says that? Highest ranked team from one of the group of six conferences, which, as we learned last year in the ACC, Miami was third, right, in the ACC, and they got it. So they were trying to at least solve that on the G6 side of it. So I guess that helps a little bit. It throws a little bit of a wrinkle here, but this is it is odd. So now the G6 championship isn't the end all be all. It all matters where your rank is. Do you like that? Is that good with your format here? Again, the G6, it's just the highest ranked team from one of the G6 conferences, regardless whether it's a conference champion or not.
Better than it was before.
You don't like the championship thing.
I want it to be top 24.
I think you got to win your freaking conference championship. Otherwise, why do we do it? Why do we do it? Who was in the ACC's championship? It was Duke and
Virginia.
Yeah. And then Miami goes to the college football playoffs and
yeah, like, well,
goes all the
great.
Way.
So Miami, the team that made it to the championship that very well could have won. They outplayed Indiana for a good portion of the game.
It was a close game. I think you... It's on your conference to not screw that up, by the way. They had the three-way tie and clearly... No, they had like a five-way tie. And clearly Miami was the better of all of them, but they didn't get into their conference championship, but they were still ranked higher. Yeah, it's so confusing. It's just a weird way to do it. I still think you should have to win your conference championship. But they're trying to get rid of, because Mike, they don't want two G6 champs in anymore. And that'll help your argument out, right? Because that's what we had last year. You had Tulane and James Madison in, and this new format, unless they get into the top 15 or top 12 and they have an at large, but more likely than not they won't. This keeps that out of it, because odds are you're going to have your Miamis, you're going to have you're going to have Power Four teams that are not in their conference championship that are still ranked in the top 20 or so. Yeah. I like the five highest ranked conference champions, regardless of conference, received automatic bids, but they got rid of that. And then they also have their little caveat. Notre Dame can also receive an automatic bid in 2026 if it ranks among the top 12 teams.
Notre Dame can,
which
if
is fine.
They're within the top 24.
If they're within the top 12. Because it's still 12.
I would like it to be 24. I like the way the FCS does it.
Yeah. But that's how they fixed it, though. They said, we don't want James Madison and Tulane. We still want to give you your measly little scraps, but we can't give you a full plate. And we gave you a full plate last year. You got two teams in, and for the most part, they weren't good games. So we fixed that. So now it's, unless they're so damn good they somehow get ranked in the top 12, then we're not going to take two G6s anymore.
I would love to see James Madison and Tulane be ranked that high. I mean,
they won't be. They won't be because of the schedules. I've told you this. It won't happen. It's not possible.
South Florida was ranked like top 10.
Yeah, is that an outlier?
Hawaii
though?
Was pretty highly ranked. They went to the Sugar Bowl one year.
Yeah, but
blown out.
Those are kind of outliers.
Can still happen.
Well, if CSU wins every game next year. I think BYU's on their schedule. If CSU wins every game next year, where would that, just roughly, where would you put them? That means they beat BYU.
I would be forced to put them. I mean, they have a weak schedule, but I would be forced to put them definitely in the top 15. I mean, winning every game's really hard. It doesn't matter who you're playing. Winning every game's really hard.
Look at you.
I would be forced, even if I... They'd definitely be in the top 25, but like
not top 15.
It's possibly.
It's all how it works. If they're top, let's say they go undefeated and there's two games that are, or two teams in their conference that are also like one or two lost teams. And if BYU goes on to have a great year, that's how that works. Sorry for the confusion there, Go Pokes. I forgot about that. I just, hands up, flat out forgot that they changed it to make it more difficult for multiple G6 teams to get in.
With all the stuff going on in the NCAA, it's hard to remember all the stuff.
Well, I always have to do a refresher before the season starts, and this won't be the last time I'll have to do it again. Eastside Chris, if you're in first and heading to a flex game, would you bench your first team guys and avoid injury? No. The whole point of that game is to win it, so you add to your resume. So you don't want to lose that game. Because if you're 23, you really need to win, so you're getting to, maybe move up top 19, depending on who that opponent is.
Yeah, you rest your players against a cowardly team that you know you're going to beat.
And that won't, again, that game will just be so important that you just don't do it. So the Pac-12, how it works, you got eight teams in the conference. It'll be game round robin schedule for conference play. Four non-conference games to start the season, and then you have your seven round robin games to schedule for conference play. One home and home flex matchup, non-conference first versus Pac-12 opponent. Yeah, it's very odd. And again, the home teams are protected. They're guaranteed to be at home, but these will not count as win or loss in the standings. It will just be a resume builder for the sole purposes of the college football playoffs. 29 minutes after the hour, Michael. We'll take a short break here. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. The Nuggets win last night. We'll get into some of that. Also, we can get into more Pac-12 stuff. Kevin will be in, and we'll try to break into it a little bit more. But that does throw a little bit of a wrinkle in it. I've always said if it's too confusing, it's probably not going to be good. But I'm excited about something that's happening this weekend that's confusing. We'll get to that, too. We'll be right back.
Telling me there's a chance.
Hear Nuggets and Avalanche games on Northern Colorado's voice.
Yeah!
103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Minutes after the hour. I mean, come on, Mike. I take offense to this one. I mean, do we even whole show, bro? HVAC guy, was that some Primus for bumper music? Since when are you two in any way cool all of a sudden? We're cool.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm cool.
Mike, come on, man. Have some confidence.
I've played Primus before.
We rock out on this show all the time, HVAC guy. It's what we do. It's 90% rock and then whatever garbage Michael decides to throw out there once in a while.
Oh, now we're going to play a lot of Micah's stuff.
No, but I think we're cool. I think you're cool, Mike. Have some confidence, man.
Well, thank you for being kind to your co-host.
Travis, this is a nicer text. Travis, the new guy. Just heard the commercial for On the Rocks Liquor. I love the staff and the owner is great. I told him I heard about his store on your radio station and he was glad that the advertising was working. Just thought I'd let you know, a real example of radio advertising. Man, we love On the Rocks Liquor. Travis, the new guy, they got free wine and beer tastings on Friday. You got to go check that out.
I got to say, I actually do know Tony outside the station.
Well, yeah, she's a bowler.
She's an awesome person.
They're great people.
They are great
community people. And it just so happens they have the best liquor store around. On the Rocks Liquor, little known fact, they've been with us from the beginning. When we decided to start this little sports show, they were the very first sponsor that we had on.
And this was before I was your co-host.
Yeah, and I didn't lose all of them somehow. That's amazing to me. But On the Rocks Liquor, beverage of the week is the new Voodoo Ranger G-Force from New Belgium. Brewing a supercharged juicy IPA at 11% ABV, where juiciness meets max velocity. Get your tall can today at On the Rocks Liquor. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Eastside Chris says, in the flex, doesn't count in the standings. Yeah, according to Ross Dellinger, the flex game for the Pac-12 does not count in the standings. Now, Go Pokes saying this on our First Advantage text line. Basically, if you can't explain it to me in 30 seconds, it's a bad idea. Some ways I agree. Texter says, I think that's a glimpse of what I'm hearing from so many of my sources say. It's just not impressing anyone outside of the Pac-12, especially media networks. Hey, listen, man. Is it a bad idea or a good idea? It's an interesting idea. It's neither good or bad right now. I don't know. I keep tweeting it. I don't know how I feel about it, but I do respect that they're trying something. I don't know if that really does make a difference. I don't know if the Week 13 flex really does catapult a team into being. It could. I mean, if you're talking CSU and Tulane are both right around the 20s and they're the highest ranked G5 school. And Tulane's got a G6 school, and Tulane's got a cupcake game or a bad team in their conference to finish the season. CSU can call up one of the top tier teams in their conference based on record, and that could be enough to catapult them over the top. Does it seem a little unethical though? Does it seem a little cheaty? Or not?
It feels that way, but then again, isn't everybody doing that these days?
Well, everyone's cheating. Pac-12's like, you know what? Screw it. Let's just try to cheat in a different way.
Let's all do it together. Let's all do it with one big open rule.
Well, so like if Tulane, let's say that, Mike. If Tulane is 19th, they're the highest ranked G6 school. CSU's 22. Okay? And Tulane's final game of the season is against, I don't know, give me a crappy team in the American Conference. Charlotte. The Charlotte 49ers.
How the hell are they the 49ers?
I don't
what
know.
Happened in something 49?
But stay with me. They're set to play the Charlotte 49ers in the final game of their season, and they're like a one win team like they were last year. And then that win would do nothing for them, right? That would they'd be at 19 unless a bunch of teams lose in front of them. That's not going to do much for them. But CSU can say our final game is against the 7-win, 8-win Texas State team or 9-win Boise State team. Would that be enough to catapult them up over a Tulane a couple of spots? I don't know.
Not a couple of spots. One spot.
Maybe two spots. You're doing all this in a rare scenario where you're maybe a game behind the top-ranked G6 school and hoping that you play that team and you win, and that does enough to put you over the edge. And I'm not entirely convinced that the CFP doesn't also view that as a little weird. Like, oh, well, CSU beat Texas State in the flex game, or they beat Boise State in the flex game. Tulane played their schedule out, and they, unfortunately, final game of the season, they're going to basically be punished for setting their schedule in advance. Now you're going to, if this works, you're going to open Pandora's box, man. Everybody's going to be doing this.
Well, everybody's doing what the SEC and the Big Ten are doing. The SEC and the Big Ten set rules, and then everybody else follows it. Now it's time for the Pac-12 to set a rule, and if it's a good rule, everybody else follows it. So if I'm on the CFP committee, I take a look at it, and I say, you're playing who's on your schedule. You just added someone who's on your schedule, and they're good, and you beat them. I'm giving you more points. I'm not looking at...
And it's true.
I'm not looking at, oh, they're cheating. I'm looking at... And, who they play.
And you're also taking a risk by doing that, right?
Yeah, because you could always lose.
Because if you're already scheduled to play Texas State and they're bad, then you schedule a better opponent, and if you lose that game, then it's game over. So maybe they reward the risk.
And what if they match up well? What if they match up really well against you? And
does
you
the team,
don't play well.
Does the team have a say? Does the team have a say, or is this a Pac-12 decision?
It should be a Pac-12 decision, and it should be a rule. It should be the best versus the school.
So what if a loss takes you out of it? What if you're in it, but a loss takes you out of it?
Too flippin' bad.
Do you give them a cupcake? If a loss takes you out of it, but if you were to not play another game, for example... And would you flex it the opposite way and give CSU the worst team of the visiting conference opponents? Could you do that? Could you? Why couldn't you?
You could. I don't know. Like, what's the point of scheduling cupcakes and being afraid of winning? And being afraid of losing.
If a loss would hurt you more than a win would help you, do you schedule the opposite way?
That is the wrong way to go about it.
That's the wrong way. Isn't that why you created the power of this Week 13 flex? To do whatever makes sense to give your team the best chance to get into the CFP? See?
It's not
black or white here, man.
That's a bad way to look at it.
That's a terrible way to look at it. You saying they
you
wouldn't do that?
You have to set the rules. You have to set the rules at the beginning.
The rules are the rules. The rules are the rules, subject to change. That's what they're saying. They're leaving
subject
it open.
Subject to change next season.
They're
but
leaving
not
it
this
open.
Season.
They could do that.
You can't coward out.
You would say that the Pac-12 is too honorable to not do something like that?
I mean, none of them are honorable.
I mean, they just They shook hands with the Mount West, said, hey, thanks for letting us join your conference so we can create a schedule. By the way, after every game, we're taking your ADs out to dinner, and we're going to get you in our conference. You don't think they would schedule, in a negative way, a lesser opponent to ensure that if you're already there, you stay there? Yeah, we're all talking about this on one side where the schedule a stronger opponent where a win would help you, but a loss, there might be potential where a loss actually hurts you more than a win would help you. 44 minutes after the hour. We got to take a quick break. Go Pokes. Like, am I wrong? He said, how you went there? Am I wrong?
You're only wrong if the CFP committee does not look.
He says, if I ever see you, beer is on me. That could happen. And if we're saying, no, the conferences are too honorable to not do something like that, I could see him doing that.
There's no honor amongst conferences.
No, or thieves. We'll be right back. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. The Nuggets win last night, 122-116. Joker had a triple-double. That's the good news, Mike. But he also had almost, he was one stat away from having a quadruple-double, Mike, and not in a good way. He had 9 turnovers last night. Joker had 26 points, 15 rebounds, 11 assists. Those are great numbers. But he hasn't looked great since he came back, other than that Clippers game, I think. I just say, man, this team was like in that movie Cars, when Lightning McQueen and they get in the three-way tie and they're just kind of limping. No, it was like the last scene, I think. It was last scene in the first race when he loses his tires and they blew out and he's like limping to the finish line and they still kind of tied, didn't really win. Yeah, that's kind of how I feel like the Nuggets are right now. They just barely crossed over the finish line in the first half of the season, and they're still in third place. So we'll take it. We'll take it. I think you can't really assess this team positively or negatively at this stage. Now we move on to the All-Star game, and Nick Wright, who I normally disagree with, has some interesting thoughts on what could really fix the NBA All-Star game. Might be a controversial take. And I kind of agree with him for once in my life. We'll talk about that later on in the program. It's the whole show. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is the home of the best high school basketball coverage in the state. We are Northern Colorado's voice and your preps leader. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show. Coming up in the next hour, we got top stories of the day. Some really interesting ones, including Ole Miss's coaches talking about what happens if one of their football players has a spouse or girlfriend or whatever that gets pregnant during the season. Wow, we'll get into that a little bit later on. Also, we've been... you're going to love this story, Mike. It'll blow your mind. I mean, I don't know. It's weird. Also, we've been pronouncing a name wrong of one of our greats here in the state of Colorado. Or maybe we're just not Swedish. I don't know. We'll get into that, too. Kevin Lytle will join us in about an hour. We'll get into Rams Weekly. We'll talk about the Pac-12, the Flex, and CSU basketball. Are they turning a corner? Big one tonight here in Greeley. UNC playing host to Sac State. And I don't know. People keep asking me, is Shaq going to be here tonight? I have nothing that leads me to believe he would be here, but his son plays here and he's a part of the program. So I guess it's not impossible. Top stories of the day coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.